Today's Shir Masechta Nedarim Daf Tzadik. We will begin on Daf Peites Omid Beis, five lines from the bottom. Hu Gaver Ditzer Hanosa Da Alma Alei. As we learned in the end of the previous Shir, we learned the Machlokes Rav Nosson and the Chachamim. According to Rav Nosson, a husband, a father, cannot be made for the nether of a wife, of a daughter, until the nether is actually effective. Chachamim disagree. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra ditza hanosa da alma olei. A person said that he may not have pleasure, benefit from anyone in the world, inosav itasa, if he will get married, kiloi tanina hilchasa. Before he learns, most mefarshim say, he learns shisha sidre mishnah. That was his nether. He was concerned that once he gets married, he won't be able to learn anymore. So he said he's not getting married until he learns the Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Most Rishonim, the Ran, explains that the nether was that he can't benefit from anyone in the world. Even though making a nether that you can't benefit from anyone in the world is not a nether that you can live with. So it should be considered, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, in the category of Nidrei Tos, a mistaken nether, it's not a possible nether. So most Rishonim explain that since this wasn't a nether, he didn't make a nether, I won't have benefit from anyone in the world. What he said is, if I don't learn and I get married, then I can't have benefit. That's the nether that I can't benefit. So it may never happen. And therefore, it's not considered a nether betos. Although, there are Rishonim that learn that a nether, even if it's not the nether part, it's the Tanai part, that's made on something that can't be fulfilled, is also not a nether. How will they explain the Gemara? So some Rishonim explain that we shouldn't explain the nether as we just said. The Ran explains it, that he makes it a strong nether, that he won't benefit from anyone. Rather, the way to understand it is that he made a nether that he won't have certain benefits from certain people, and therefore it's not such a strong nether. There's an interesting Hagor from the Mari Inzel, quoted by the Avni Meluim, that says it this way. He says that when do some Rishonim say that even if it's the Tanai part, that even if there's a nether with a Tanai, if it's a nether that's impossible to fulfill, it's not a valid nether, that's only when I want to have the nether become effective retroactively. That means, if someone made the nether of our Gemara, he says, that I won't benefit from anyone in the world if I don't learn and get married. And if that does happen, I don't learn and get married. Retroactively, I should not be allowed to have benefits from anyone. That's when those Rishonim, the Mari Inzel say, those Rishonim say that the nether is an ineffective nether. But here he didn't say it should be retroactive. If I don't learn and I get married, only from then and then on, should I not be allowed to have benefits from anyone? Everybody will agree that that's not considered an invalid nether. So says the Gemara. Wrought the gaf of a tavlina. He tried to learn. The Gemara, the Mefarshim explained, that means he used all sorts of different, it's a saying people say, that he tried all his effort. And he couldn't learn. It didn't work. Some explain that he just didn't have the cup. He didn't have the head to learn. Others say he was too busy working, that he didn't have the opportunity to learn. Others say that he just wasn't on the madrega to learn. So now he has a problem. He wants to get married, but he can't get married because if he gets married, then the nether kicks in and he's not allowed to benefit from anyone. Osir of Acha Bar Afuna. So if Acha Bar Afuna came up with a piece of advice, B'shapsha, someone misled him. Insev itasa. He married him off. And now that he married off, the nether was triggered. And that's what we're up to, the nether was triggered. So the Stipler quotes a question from the Marit. He says, the Marit discusses, says that we learned early in the Masechta, the Ran says the following din. Let's say someone made a nether that if I eat or I drink, the nether should be triggered. And then he forgets what he said and ate or drank, the nether is not triggered because it was a mistake. So he says, here this person got married, not because he thought he was allowed to get married. He got married because of Achbar of Huna gave him this advice. So that wasn't, that shouldn't trigger the nether if it was done that he wasn't allowed to get married, and he didn't get married on his own volition. So why was the nether triggered? Ask the Marit. Answers the Stipler, very interesting teretz. He says that his nether wasn't only that I'm not going to get married, and if I get married before I learned, I'm going to be ushered to benefit from anyone in the world. He says if I get married or remain married, I can't benefit from anyone in the world. So true, the getting married part, you can't have any issue with him. He didn't get married on his own. Rav Achbar Bar Funa told him to get married. But he remained married. That also triggers the nether. And that's why he now has a situation with this nether that he can't benefit from anyone in the world. So what Rav Achbar Bar Funa did was, Shar Ketina Vasil Kamed Rav Chisda. He covered him up with mud and took him to Rav Chisda. And here we have a Machloikus Rishayinim. Why was he covered with mud? So first we're going to quote the Pshatim of the Ran and the Rosh. The Ran explains that what was Rav Achbar Rav Huna trying to show him? You made a nether, you can't benefit from anyone in the world. I'm showing you, you can't live that way. No person can live without being able to benefit. Because look what happens if your clothing gets dirty. If your clothing gets dirty, you have to go to a cleaner's. You're not allowed to go to a cleaner's. You're not allowed to benefit from anyone. That's why you need to immediately go and have your nether annulled. The Rush learns a very sharp shot. The Rush says he wasn't allowed to wear clothing. Wearing clothing is a benefit. He says he's not going to benefit from anything in the world. So he had to take off his clothing. He can't remain without clothing. So he covered him up with mud. What is the machloikus of the Ran and the Rush? So the Gra says a beautiful pshat in explaining the machloikus of the Ran and the Rush, which this machloikus, the way we're going to repeat the Gra's Vart, we're going to say it over the way Rabbi Aaron Kotler says it over in the Tshuva. Rabbi Aaron Kotler, we know, was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Kletzka Yeshiva in Poland. In those days, they were very unfair in allowing Jews to travel between countries. A Jew couldn't travel from Russia to Poland. They didn't let them into Poland unless he was a Polish citizen. There was a Jew from Russia, there was a Talmud from Russia that wanted to attend the Kletzka Yeshiva. So he obtained a passport that said that he was born in Poland. He comes to the border and he presents his passport. He should be allowed into Poland. Apparently the customs people were concerned that he really wasn't born in Poland. So they said, we want to see your birth certificate that you were born in Poland. He obviously didn't have such a birth certificate. So he says, I don't have my birth certificate with me. I just have my passport with me. So they told him, you know what? You don't have a birth certificate. You only have a passport. You need to swear that you were born in Poland. What did he want to do? He wanted to swear, albeit a false shvuah. And then, as we've been learning in Amasech, to have the shvuah annulled. What is the shaila? The shaila is, if I make a nether, and I know that I'm going to have that nether annulled, in the interim period between when the nether was made and it's annulled, is it considered that I'm violating a nether? Or is it considered that I'm violating a shvuah? Says the Gra, that's the machloikus of the Ran and the Rosh. The Rosh says, this person now triggered a nether, that he's not allowed to benefit from anyone. So even though he knows he's going to have the nether annulled, until it's actually annulled, he's not allowed to wear any clothing, because it's benefiting. He's going to have it annulled, and the annulment we know works retroactively. That doesn't give you a right to violate the nether until it was actually annulled. The Ran, on the other hand, who doesn't agree with the Rosh, says since he knows that he's going to have the nether annulled, so even in the period where it wasn't yet annulled, if you violate it, it's not considered that you're violating a nether. That was the question, if he could swear falsely with the knowledge that he's going to have the nether annulled. Others explained that he covered him with dirt to get him to show that he regrets making the nether and he's covered in dirt. Others say that he was embarrassed from Rav Chisda, then therefore he covered himself in dirt and shame. The Ran, we learned earlier, the Shach quotes a Ran that says earlier in the Masechta, that if someone made a nether that he's not allowed to benefit from anyone in the city, and now he wants to have that nether annulled, The halach is he can't go to a rov from that city to have the neder annulled, because he can't go to a person that's affected by the neder. So the question is, he made a neder that he can't benefit from anyone. So Rav Chisda is part of anyone. So how could he go to Rav Chisda to have the neder annulled? Says the Shach. The when does the Ransdin apply? If I made a neder, I can't benefit anyone from this city, and I want to have the neder annulled, so don't go to a chacham from this city. Go to a chacham from another city who isn't affected by my neder. But here the person made a neder, they can't have a nor from anyone in the world. So there's no chacham that is not affected by my neder, and then the halach is you could go to any chacham to have the neder annulled. I'm a Rava. So Rava commented, Man chacham l'mevik yoha milsa, who would be so smart to act this way? Ilav the Rav Ach Bar Huna. If not, it's Rav Ach Bar Huna, the Gavra Rabahu, who is a great person. The Kasover, because Rav Ach Bar Huna says, that just like we learned in the previous year, to Keicha the Pligi Rabbanu Rav Nosson, just like we learned in the previous year, the Machloikis Rabbanu Rav Nosson Ba'afara, the Rav Nosson says that a husband, a father, can't be made for the nether until it's actually effective. Hachanami Pligi B'Shaila. Here too, Rav Ach Bar Huna needed to make that the nether be triggered in order that now the person should be able to have the nether annulled. Until the nether was actually effective, there's no shayla. And as the Rishonim explain, it's a machlok chachamim Reb Nosson. Don't we follow the opinion of the chachamim, who don't need the nether to be triggered? So the Mefarshim explain, Rav Ach Bar Huna wanted to be super careful, and therefore he came up with an approach that will work even according to Reb Nosson. However, Rav Papi says, Machloikis ba'foro. There's machloikis regarding ha'foro. Rav Nosson sover ain't about made for elm kein chal another. As we learned, Rav Nosson holds that the husband can't be made for the nether until it's actually triggered. What's his raya? The ksiv. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya. V'chofer ha'levona u'busha ha'chama kimoach Hashem tzavokish. So the way the Ran explains, we know, we learned earlier in our Masechta, Kol Hanoida Kilu Bona Bama. Whoever makes a net is like he built a Bama. Chofra Levana. Levana is from the word binyan. When is it considered that you have a binyan? That you have a nether? When it's actually built. When it actually was affected. At that point, chofra, you could be made for the nether. Prior to that, you can't be made for the nether. That's how the Ran explains this raya. The Shita has a different way of explaining the raya. He says, what is that pasuk discussing? He says, the pasuk discussing, we all know from Parashas Bereishis, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the world that the sun and the moon were equals. And then we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished the moon. The pasuk says, Chofra Levana Busha Chama, when Mashiach comes, they'll straighten everything out. When? Kimolach Hashem. Only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will actually rule, when Mashiach comes. That's when everything will be straightened out. Similarly, when could you make for a nether? Only when the nether is actually in effect. Prior to that, it can't be revoked. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan on the other hand holds, Baal Mefer Apish Lechala Nether. A husband has the right to be Mefer even before the nether actually was triggered. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Iyuv, Mefer Machshvay Sarumim. When it's still in the category of a Machshava, it hasn't yet been effectuated, it could already be revoked. And as the Bach explains, this is not really the basis of the Rabbanan's reasoning. The basis is, because as we have learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, when can a husband be made for a nether? B'yoyim shamay, the day he hears of the nether. When is the yoyim? So you see, he doesn't have to have that the nether was actually triggered. He just has to hear about it. So we see that one has nothing, you could have been made for it before it was actually triggered. Av b'sheila, says Rev Papi, as far as hatoras nadarim, there halach is, the rehakol eina mat, a chacham cannot annul a nether, elm ken chal nether, until the nether is actually triggered. The ksiv, lo yachel dvorei. And there's two pshatim in the Rishonim how we learn from the word lo yachel dvorei. Some explain that the Torah uses the word yachel. What does yachel mean? Chalois, a very yeshivish word. What does chalois mean? That it was actually affected. So we see that the nether has to be effective for it to be annullable. Another pshat that I saw, Lo yachal dvaroi, so we learned the Gemara, who ain't a meichel, a person can't annul his nether, avla cherim meichel, others can annul it. When? When there's something to annul, when you have a nether. Says the Gemara, lemi masailei, let's say perhaps that this price is a raya, that a nether could only be annulled once it's triggered. The Brisa says, somebody made a nether that had two parts to it. Koinim sheni nener l'ploni, a person makes a nether that may not benefit from this individual. Ulamisha eshalov. What he meant to say was, and if I go and have that nether annulled, then the person that annulled the nether for me, then I can't benefit from him. Says the Brisa, nishal rishon, first you have the first nether annulled, v'akach nishal sheni, then he has the second nether annulled. V'amit, if you're going to suggest, says the Gemara, nishal af pishloi chala nether, that you can have a nether annulled even prior to its being effective, so why does it have to go in this specific order? Ibaya hai nishal b'resha, ibaya hai nishal b'resha. Why is there a specific order that the Brisa is mentioning that you have to have the nethers annulled? Isn't the Brisa telling us that you can't have a nether annulled until it's actually triggered? Says the Gemara, umiyada, a hai kami hai basra. Says the Gemara, who says to learn Pshat in the Brisa? That the Brisa means to say that you have to go in this specific order. First nether annulled, then second nether annulled. Maybe what the Brisa means to say is, you have to have both nedarim annulled, but it's not speaking to any specific order. So says the Shita, if that's what the Brisa is teaching us, so what's the Brisa teaching us? That you have to have both in the Dharm and the Nadold? It's obviously you have to have both in the Dharm and the Nadold. If there's no specific order that the Brisa is teaching us, what indeed is the Brisa teaching us? Says the Shita, the Brisa is teaching us the following. One would might think that we shouldn't view these Nadarim as two distinct Nadarim. They should be viewed as one nether. And they could be annulled, they could be Nitar in one act. Teaches us the Brisa that they're considered two separate Nadarim and need to be annulled separately. Elalim Silate. So the Gemara brings a raya from the following Brisa. Somebody said, Kainim Shanani Laplani. Somebody says, I may not benefit from this individual. And he continues to say, Hareni Nozel Cheshashalom. And if I have that nether that prohibits me from benefiting from that individual annulled, then I automatically become a Nozel. Says the Brisa, Nishla Nidroi, Fakach Nishla Nidroi. The Brisa says you have to follow a very specific order. You have to go in the consecutive order. First the Nether is annulled, then the Nazirus is annulled. Says the Gemara. The Amrit, if you're going to suggest, says the Gemara, Nishla Apishloi Chala Nether, that you could have a Nether annulled even before it's actually effective. So you buy al Nidra Nichol Bereshoi, you buy al Nidra Nichol Bereshoi. So you should be allowed to follow any order. Why does the Brisa specify first the first nether, and then the Nazirus, which comes second? Says the Gemara, Reb Nosson. That Brisa reflects the opinion of Reb Nosson. And as we said at the end of the Shia yesterday, and as we said in our introductory remark today, Reb Nosson clearly holds that you can't be made for a nether prior to being effective, and it holds the same by Hataras Nadarim. But the Chachomim, who disagree with Reb Nosson regarding Hafara, maybe also disagree with him regarding Hatorah, regarding Shela, and they hold that you could be matter and nether even before it's actually triggered. Amar Vena, says Arvina, Amali Mirema, Hocha Amar Avuch Mishmeid Rapapi, just the opposite. Machloikis Bafara, there's a machloikis regarding Hafara between Reb Nosson and the Chachamim. Abba Shela, when it comes to Hatorah Snedarim, the Rehako Mefer, everybody agrees that you can be made for the nether, v'apish lechala nether, even if the nether wasn't effective yet. Why? The ksiv layachal dvaroi. And as the Mefarshim explain, it's only in the category of dvaroi. It's only words. It's not yet a nether. The Torah says you already could be matarit. Another pshat that the Shita says, the pasuk says, k'chol hayotzi mipiv yasa. K'chol hayotzi mipiv. As soon as these words leave his mouth, they're ready in the category that they could be annulled. Lememra, Lemai have a b'maisa. Even if the nether wasn't yet triggered, it can be annulled. So now, what the Gemara wanted to use before as a raya, now becomes a kasha. Meisei, and we'll learn it somewhere a little quicker. We just learned it. The Braisa says, Kodim Shinani L'Plani, if somebody says a neder, I'm not going to benefit from this individual. Umi Shinishal Lov, and then if I have it annulled, I may not benefit from the Chochem who annulled it for me. The Loch is, Nishal Arisha Vakach Nishal Asheni. Ask the Gemara Mai, if we're learning now that there's no specific order that has to be followed, Ibaya Hai Nichal Bereisha, Ibaya Hai Nichal Bereisha, he should be allowed to annul any neder. Shouldn't make a difference, the order. Says the Gemara, as we said previously, who says that the Braisa means you have to go in consecutive order? The Braisa says you have to have both in the Dharma annulled, but it doesn't mean any specific order. Ask the Gemara, if somebody makes a neder, I'm not allowed to benefit. And if I have that neder that prohibits me from having benefit from somebody annulled, then I should become another. Says the Braisa, Nishla Nidra, V'nachach Nishla Nidra. You have to go in the specific order. V'mai, if what we just learned is correct, Ibai al Nidra Mitzvah Bereishai, V'ibir al Nidra Mitzvah Bereishai, he should be allowed to know it in any order. Says the Gemara Tiyufta. From here we see clearly a proof that you cannot have a nether annulled until it's actually effective. And the Mepharshim explain why. Because the basis of any Hataras Nedarim is charata, regret. You can't regret something that doesn't exist. Only when the nether exists is regret possible. Says the Ran, that even though the halach is like we just learned, that you cannot have a nether annulled until it's actually triggered, there's a difference what kind of a tanai you made. He says, if you made a tanai that the nether is not going to be effective until something happens, so until that actually happens, and the nether kicks in, you can't have it annulled. Why? Because it may never happen. He said, but let's say somebody makes a nether that something should happen in 30 days. In 30 days from now, it should become prohibited. Or in 30 days, whatever. Since, as we said this far in the previous year, 30 days in Mitzvah Shem will certainly come. We should only be gesund and stark to be here. Therefore, the halacha is that since it's certainly going to come, even though it's not yet triggered, that nether could already be annulled. And in fact, I saw this concept is used both for halacha and for agada. First of all, let's speak about halacha. There's a tshuva in the Melamed Lahoyal. He says there was a person who fasted every year on the first day of Slichas. And one year he wasn't feeling well, and he knew that it's going to be difficult for him to fast. He obviously came to learn the shir, and he knew you can't have a nether annulled until the nether kicks in. But he didn't want to wait until the actual morning of the fast day. He wasn't sure if he'll find somebody to be mounted the nether. He wanted to do it in advance. May he. So the Melamed Lahayil gives three reasons why he may. The first is our Ran. Because when does the Ran say you're not allowed to have a nether annulled prior to its being effective? That's only when it depends on an act. Here, where it depends on a day, which will certainly come, you could have it annulled prior to date. The first day of Slichas is for sure going to come. That's why you could have it annulled beforehand. A second reason he was makel, the other two reasons really don't have anything to do with our shir, but we'll say them. The second reason, he says, is because the nether doesn't become effective on the first day of Slichas. The first time this person fasted on the first day of Slichas, that became a nether for him for the rest of his life. That every year when the first day of Slichas comes, his nether, he has a nether to fast. So therefore, it's not considered that the nether didn't happen yet. It already happened, and since it already happened, he could have it annulled. His third pshat, very interesting pshat, he says when there's a fast day, which we have to fast on, so you have to fast. The halach is if you're not feeling well, when you're allowed to eat, what you're allowed to eat, etc. But let's say a person accepts upon himself a fast day, which is not required. So he quotes a Magen Avraham that says, implied in that Kabbalah is that you're only accepting to fast if you're able to fast. But if you're going to not be well, chas v'shalom, then you're not going to fast. So since that's implied in the Kabbalah, the entire need for Hatorah of this nether is not clear, and therefore, perhaps, we could certainly be makel. Say to Mepharshim, a very interesting pshat. We find that Yehuda when he spoke to Yaakov Avinu and said to Yaakov that he wants to take Yosef to Mitzrayim, he wants to take Binyamin to Mitzrayim, he says, V'chatosil chakol ha-yomim. So Rashi says, he put himself into a cherim. So the question is, if he put himself into a cherim, we don't find that he did anything to have that cherim removed. We don't find that he did that anybody acted him with him as he was a cherim. Why? So said him a farshim. And we don't find, why didn't he do anything to have the cherim removed? So he says, Yehuda knew our Gemara. Our Gemara says that a neder cannot be annulled until it's actually effective. Yehuda only meant that he's going to be cherim in Olam Haba. So he wasn't yet in Olam Haba, he was still in this world. So the neder wasn't effective. Before the neder is effective, you can't have it annulled, the Gemara we just learned. We begin the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, the last Mishnah of Amasechta. Says the Mishnah, Rishayna Ha'Omrim, originally the Mishnah Rishayna said, Shalosh Noshim Yoytzes V'Naitlis Ksuba. We know typically, when does a woman able to get her ksuba, is if her husband divorces her, her husband, Rechman Tzlan, dies, she's entitled to a ksuba. Our Mishnah comes up with a situation where a woman can initiate the breakup of the marriage and still be entitled to the ksuba. Haimeres Tmei Lach. If a woman comes and tells her husband, I had a relationship with another man. So as we're going to learn in the shir tomorrow, if she's married to Yisrael, that's not what our Mishnah is referring to. Because if she comes to Yisrael and she says that I willingly had a relationship with another man, so she's not allowed, she doesn't deserve a ksuba. If on the other hand she was violated, the wife of Yisrael is allowed to remain with her husband if she was violated. Our Mishnah says the Gemara is referring to an Eishes Kayin. And again, if she tells her husband that she willingly had a relationship, again, she's not entitled to ksuba. Here it's referring to a case where the wife of a kohen tells the kohen, I was violated. That the halach is that the wife of a kohen, even if it was a oinus, may not remain with her husband. And she says, as the Gemara will tell us, it's your fault that I can't remain with you because you're a kohen, and therefore I'm entitled to the ksuba. But as the Mefarshim explained, as we learned the Masechta Ksubas, there are two parts to a ksuba. One part to ksuba is the basic part, and then there's the Tosfos ksuba. Our Gemara is only referring to the basic ksuba. Tosfos ksuba she can't get. The next case was, she comes and says, Shamayim beini lebeinoch. You're not able to have relations with me that could create children. Your semen doesn't exit your body in a way that I can have children. The Gemara calls it Yorik Chetz. And as the Rishonim explain, we learned the Gemara Masechta Yevamos. If she says, so I want a divorce because we can't have children, so the mitzvah pru urvu doesn't apply to women. And that's not a reason to get divorced. What she says is, I want to have children, chutri liyadei or mare lekfura. I want to have children that when I get old, I could have somebody to rely on. When I pass away, I could have somebody who will take care of me. That is a legitimate reason for a woman to say to her husband, I deserve to get divorced, and you have to pay the ksuba. Or she made a neder, she makes a neder that she can't have relations with any man. So the Mefarshim asks the obvious question, a few obvious questions on this part. When a woman makes a neder that she can't have relations with any man, so the first question is, why is the neder effective? She's obligated to have relations with her husband. So the Mefarshim answered two answers. One answer is that she didn't articulate the neder that I can have relations with you. She's obligated. There's a shibud. She said that I may not benefit from any relations. There she has a right to make the neder. Or another answer is because she didn't only include the husband who she has a prior obligation to have relations with. She said I can't have relations with anyone. But then the question is, why is that neder, we discussed this already, why is that neder effective? She's already usur, she's already prohibited to have relations with any man. She's an eishes ish. So it's ein issachal al isser. So I saw two answers to that question also. One answer I saw to that question is that, go back to the beginning of the Masechta, The difference between a neder, between a neder and a shvuah, we said at the beginning of Masechta, is a neder is an issa cheftza, as a shvuah is an issa gavra. The Mefarshim suggests that every issa that the Torah says is an issa cheft, is an issa gavra, not an issa cheftza. So when this woman is not going to have relations with any man, she has an issa gavra, she has a personal prohibition to have relations with anyone. When she makes a neder, she's creating an issa cheftza. And we learned the Mishnah on Daf Yud Dalet that says that if somebody made a shvuah that they're not allowed to eat something, and then they make a neder that they're not going to eat that item, the neder is effective. Because it's an issa cheftza, which is chal on an issa gavra. So here too, since she's adding an issa cheftza, it is effective, even though she's already prohibited to have relations with all these men. Another pshat is when we say that the neder is not effective because she's already usher, she's very prohibited to have relations with anyone, it doesn't mean that the neder is not here. It's sort of hovering and can't land because she already is usher. But if something will change, the neder is here, and that's why it's considered an effective neder. A third pshat is that since the neder is effective for her husband, who she is allowed to have relations with, so once it's effective for her husband, it's effective for the whole world. So now ask the Mefarshim, as we're going to learn soon in the Mishnah, why can't the husband be made for the nether? It's a nether of beino lebeino. It's a nether that affects their relationship. So why can't the husband be made for the nether and she could have relations with him? So Baruch Tam answers, why is this woman making this nether? At least according to the Mishnah Rishayna. The woman is saying that she is a woman that's unable, she finds it repulsive, she finds it difficult to have relations with a man. What's the reason Chazal said that a husband has a right to be made from the Dorim Beino Lebeino, so that she should be able to come back and not be effective by the nether? Here, annulling, revoking the nether won't do anything. She still finds it difficult to have relations. And therefore, in this situation, according to the Mishnah Rishayna, the husband can't be made for any part of the nether. Says the Mishnah, however, then they said, they became concerned. We're concerned that this woman really wants to marry someone else. And she wants to get out of the marriage. So what is she? So how is she going to get out of the marriage? The husband doesn't divorce her. So she says, Tameyani. She says, I'm Tamei. In order that the husband should have to divorce her. And then she can marry whom she wants. And therefore, her marriage, if a woman says that she had an adulterous relationship, only Tavi Raya Varel. She has to bring a Raya. She has to bring Edom that it happened. Just saying it, we won't believe her. So the Ran and all the Rishonim and the Mefarshim ask a very, very fundamental question here. This woman, Midaraisa, is believed, as the Mishnah Rishonim says, when she comes and says that I'm Tamei. The Chacham say, don't believe her. And what's going to happen because the Chacham say don't believe her? She's going to be allowed to continue having relations with her husband. So now we find a new phenomena that we don't find anywhere in Shas. We find here a situation in Shas that the Rabbanan have a right to tell us the Kuvah say actively violate something the Torah says we're not allowed to do. The Torah says this woman is not allowed to have relations with a man, and the Rabbanan say go have relations. Typically, the Rabbanan only have the right to be, say, Sheval Taisa. Passive, don't do something that the Torah says do. Torah says blow shofar on Shabbos, Chum say don't blow. Chum say take Dalamidim on Shabbos, Torah says take Dalamidim on Shabbos, don't. But here we're actively violating the Daraisa. How could that be done? So some Rishonim say that here we learn the power of the Chachamim, and that under certain circumstances where the Chachamim see fit, they have the right to say that even actively violated the Raisa. The Ran gives a different suggestion, Teretz. The Ran says a Teretz that Chachamim have a mechanism here. What the Chachamim do is, they say that while she had this adulterous relationship, the Chachamim have a right to be mafkiya kedushin, the Chachamim have a right to annul a marriage, they say we don't view her as a married woman at that time. And since she wasn't a married woman at that time, she didn't do adultery, because only married women could do adultery. Others suggest, very difficult teretz, I'm just repeating it, it's the Re'im's teretz, that the Isser is only on the woman, on the man, not on the woman. And since the woman is the one that's creating the Isser here, that's why it's different. Others say a very lumdish answer. They say the following. Why does a woman have a right to say that she's Usser? Because it's Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura. She's saying I'm Usser, and there's a concept in Shas that a person has a right to say something is Usser. Can say, I'm Usser. The woman says, I'm Usser. There's a machloikis in the Achroinim. What is the lumdus of Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura? Some explain Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura is like a neder. I'm making a neder. Others say Shavya Nafsha Chaticha Desura is a namonis. Why do I believe this person? Because they're only harming themselves. So why would the person say it if it wasn't true? But that mnemonis is only there when it doesn't harm anyone else. Here, her saying this doesn't only hurt her, it also affects the husband. So that's why here there's no Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Yisura. That's why Midaraisa she's not really believed. She's only believed Midrabbonon. And Rabbonon here said, because we're concerned, Shema Nosna Nebacher, that we shouldn't believe her. In the case where she said, Hashemayim Beini Lebenecha, when she said this statement that you're unable to have proper relations with me, Yasu Derech Bakasha. So I saw three pshatim in Yasu Derech Bakasha. One pshat Yasu Derech Bakasha is that even though the husband isn't obligated to divorce her, because we're concerned that she's only saying it because she wants to marry someone else, we ask him, she's so unhappy with you. She says you can't have relations with her. Maybe divorce her. We ask him. Another pshat is just the opposite. Yasa derech bakasha is that we make a party. We try to get them to feel good about each other. And if they'll feel good about each other, she enjoys his company, she'll agree to remain married with him. A third pshat, beautiful pshat. Yasa derech bakasha is she's saying, why do I want to get divorced? Because I'm unable to have children. Yasa derech bakasha, we should daven to Hashem that they should have children. If they have children, they can remain married, no problem. The third case, in the case where a woman made a neder, Netula ani min ha-Yehudim, Yofer Chelkoi, we're concerned that she only made it because she wants out of this marriage, so it becomes a neder beino lebeino, and he has a right to be made for his chelik, v'tei misham shishay, and therefore she could continue having relations with him. The neder, as far as he's concerned, for we've learned that when a husband is made for a neder, beinoy lebeinoy, he could only be made for the neder as far as it affects him, not anywhere else. So he could continue having relations with her, betayin tulum and yehudim, everyone else she can't have relations with. And in fact, let's say the marriage ends, so he divorces her, he dies, she may not get remarried and have relations with a new husband until the neder is annulled. Iboy lehu, ask the Gemara. A woman comes to her husband and says, I'm Tamei. We know the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. Is this wife allowed to continue eating Truma? May she continue eating Truma or not? So as the Rishonim explained, certainly Truma Daraisa, which according to her words, she's not allowed to eat, the Mara is not discussing. She's certainly not allowed to eat Truma Daraisa. What's under discussion is she allowed to eat Truma Drabonin. Rav Shesh Sama Oichelis, she's even allowed to eat truma to Rabbanan. She's like, Taitzi Laza Banel. Because we don't let her eat truma, it's giving credence that she actually had adulterous relationships. And people are going to say that her children are mamzerim, they're not from her husband. Rava Me'enochels. She's not allowed to eat truma. Why aren't we concerned that people are going to speak? Efshad Achle Chulin. People are saying, she doesn't want to eat truma, she wants to eat chulin. However, says Rava, Omer Rava, Omaydi Rav Sheshes certainly agrees. Shimnis Amala, let's say the husband that the Kohen divorces, Shein Echelis, she may not eat Truma, even according to Rav Sheshes. Because Midu Hutama, what's the whole reason Rav Sheshes says that she's allowed to eat Truma? El Mishum Shloi Toti Laz Abanel. They were concerned that people shouldn't say that our children aren't from this husband, the Mamzerim, Rechamon Tzlan. But once the marriage is anyway terminated, and Farshim asks if Nisgarsha, she can't eat Truma anyway. She's not the wife of a Kohen anymore. So Farshim explained that she's also the daughter of a Kohen. And therefore, she's allowed to continue eating Truma after Gerushin. People will say, you know why she stopped eating Truma? Not because anything happened while they were married. While they were married, everything is fine. And the status of her children is perfectly fine. What happened was that she was violated and Rishonim make a very important point, violated by a person who, if that person, if she were to marry that individual, she would become permanently disqualified to marry a Kayin, we'll say that's why she stopped eating Truma. But not that anything happened during the marriage, and therefore even Rav Sheshis will agree that after her marriage, she may not continue eating Truma, even though he is lenient during the marriage.